Listen up, pinball nerds. I'm about to tell you five rad and one bad about P3. Mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so white and nerdy. Thinking I'm just too white and nerdy. Thinking I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. Wanna roll with my podcasters. But so far they all think I'm too white and nerdy. Just think I'm too white and nerdy. Think I'm too white and nerdy. I'm too white and too white and pinball nerdy. What's up, pinball nerds? Welcome up to episode 494 of your fifth favorite pinball podcast. My name is Orbital Albert, and on today's show, I'm going to start my new favorite. I don't know if it's a segment, it's more so of a show idea, but I want to do five rad and one bad. Okay, so we're going to be mostly positive with a little asterisk at the end. So let's start with the good stuff about P3 Multimorphic. Number one is you can interact with other P3 Multimorphic players in real time, a la Cosmic Kart Racing. So I was able to watch the Twitch live stream where Jerry and several other people with P3 Multimorphics all had their machines set up, and they were interacting with each other, much like you can on, say, Mario Kart when you shoot a red shell and it chases down the next person in front of you and takes them out. Or if you like fart out like you know, when you get the multiple mushrooms and you rapid hit the button and you know you go really fast and you can smash into other players and ruin their day. Well, this is the only machine. You know, there is Stern connected, and I did get to try that this weekend. I'm trying not to go on too many tangents in today's episode, but I did get to try Stern and Sarah connected, and I will say I was pleasantly surprised, A, by how quickly you could get it, because I didn't have it right up till Saturday, B, how by easy it was to use, and C, I love just playing in a tournament and would say, Orbital Albert, you're up next. And by the way, the only thing I didn't like, it only allows for like, I think, 12 characteristics, and Orbital Albert with no spaces is 13. So I was one too many. Now, I should have thought about this longer, but again, I was in a rush because the tournament was about to start. I should have just put Orbital Albert without the E, but instead I just put Orbital Albert. So I don't know if you follow people on there or, you know, if you're from Halifax and you keep seeing Orbital Albert come up, that's me. All right. So being able to interact with people in real time, unlike any other game, this not only provides game makers, coders, designers, people who are working at P3 to just have newer, more fun, more enriched experiences while they're playing or while they're designing something. It allows for all the other people who can design games, which is pretty much you, and you, anyone who, from what I understand, the coding is very simple. So it's not something I could do because I'm not very good with that sort of thing with software and all that kind of stuff, but almost anyone could design through them. And what I really love is how interactive it is and how you can do that interaction through the internet, and it actually affects your current gameplay, right? So I thought that was really cool. Number two, this is the number two rad thing, and this is not in any order of how rad these things are. This is just as it came into Orby's brain, okay? So number two is that the ball itself can actually interact with the entire playfield and the screen. Again, there's like a mode with like, you know, it's think of it like Asteroids when you're shooting, you know, Asteroids, that old school arcade game. When your ball is going through there, the ball knows on the playfield where it is for the entire screen portion of the playfield. Correct me if I'm wrong. Be the first person to ever email me at pinballnerds@gmail.com, or better yet, you'll have a better chance of me actually checking and seeing it if you message me through Facebook under the Pinball Nerds podcast. I am planning on doing a live stream early next week, so make sure you follow me on there. So don't worry, I'm still going to broadcast the podcast out to whatever podcatcher you're listening to me on right now, but you're also going to get to see behind the scenes. I might even go play a game of Fortnite afterwards, maybe make some launch, I don't know. I'll probably do a little bit of an intro and a little bit of an outro. I want to see if my internet, now that I've got new, better internet, I want to see if it can handle live streaming through Fortnite while I'm recording through Anchor. I think it will be fine. We might notice some disruption during the upload process, but that's okay. I can actually be quiet for 30 seconds, believe it or not, and that would happen during that part. But the fact that the ball knows, you know, the fact that the P3 multimorphic system knows where the ball is on the interactive part of the playfield the whole time is just insane to me. There is things like light fields that you can find on, I know, the newer Stern Indiana Jones has like a light field. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's certain little parts of the playfield that can interact with the ball and other pinball machines, but this is like the whole thing, right? So this allows, again, for coders to have more options. It allows for more interactive gameplay. And certainly for younger people who are coming to pinball, I think this really catches their attention. This is more similar to, you know, iPad games they're used to, or even gaming on platforms, that sort of thing. You know, usually you can interact with everything, not just only interact with a ramp or only interact with a drop target or only interact with a bash toy. You can interact with everything that's happening right on the screen. All right. So number three, and I touched on this at number one, silly Orby went ahead here, but anybody with even a minimal amount of coding experience, and probably anybody who went to one of those people that are making them and either offered them a big stack of money or even a medium stack of money. Speaking of, wouldn't it be cool to have a Pinball Nerds podcast P3 multimorphic game? That'd be cool. If you're someone who would know, I always wanted to make an idle game. I love idle games. I play Adventure Capitalists all the time. I'm probably one of the top highest ranked free playing members of that game. I made it. I was one of the first person to make it to the moon. I was one of the first people to make it to Mars. Don't want to go too much off topic in today's show, but if I were to ever come up with the idea, at least for the software, the development of a Pinball Nerds podcast game, it's not going to become a Stern game. It's not going to become a spooky game. It's not going to become even an American pinball game. Congratulations to Ryan, who did Sonic Pinball, who is over there now, just got hired by AP. So congrats to Ryan. My only question is, Ryan, can you please, please make another edition of Hot Wheels that just has one thing different with it? It has at least one loop-to-loop. You're the man who knows how to make the loop-to-loop rants. Get over there and make us a new edition. I believe David Fix already said they might make different editions of different games. I don't know if that just has to do with the cabinet, but hopefully it has to do with the play field, because I would be more interested in playing Hot Wheels if it had a loop-to-loop. Much more interested, in fact. Back that up. Beep, beep, beep. There goes the truck backing up. Okay, I'm not going to be buying a Hot Wheels. I mean, maybe if they completely overhauled the sound package and got rid of all the air tool sounds and a couple of the other noises that were just completely irritating. That is the one machine, no matter where it is in a pinball arcade, I can hear those air sound noises like all the time. And then the car's pulling in, ding, ding, ding. All the time I can hear those. Come on, AP. You got Steve Bowden over there. Steve Bowden will be honest with you, hopefully, and be like, guys, hey, Hot Wheels is moderately okay, but we got to work on those cringy noises. No more cringy noises in your next machine. Come on, let's do it. You can get it done. I'm excited for Ryan being over there at AP. I'm excited to see if Sonic comes out. I played Sonic a lot back. You know, it's not a brand that I follow anymore. I certainly don't want to watch the new Sonic movies, and I won't watch them even if you fix Sonic's teeth in them. But let's move on. The next thing that I absolutely love, besides the fact that probably almost anyone could code it, you could probably be a junior coder in your first year and probably not do a complex game like Weird Al or do a complex game even like Heist, but probably, you know, a couple of their smaller, lesser expensive, they're little $200 games and stuff that they have. Those are the type of ones that, although you'd have to find an animator still, you could probably figure out at least the rules of how to code it yourself. All right. So number four is that P3 now has Bowen Cairns and Colin McAlpine. And these guys are not short in skill. These guys are both very, very good at pinball. Bowen Cairns, perhaps, if for nothing else other than rule development, it's great they have Bowen Cairns. Colin, of course, won Pinburg a couple years ago, so he's no slouch at competitive pinball, so he can help with rules as well and say, you know, this isn't balanced, or, you know what, I could see a tournament player within the first 10 minutes just, you know, figuring out this advantage and fixing it up. And that should go a long way to helping P3 Multimorphic show up in more pinball tournaments. And the more likely your pinball machine shows up in pinball tournaments, the more free advertising you're getting for that pinball machine. And the more pinball players in tournaments love your machine, the more likely locations are to get your pin. So one hand washes the other, scratches the other's back, however you want to call it. So if P3 Multimorphic, because I've never seen it in a pinball tournament, but I suspect with Bowen and Colin McAlpine there, you're going to see it in tournaments more often. Another huge advantage for Bowen is, so even for this tournament this last weekend, every single time I typed in like, you know, Deadpool or whatever it is that I typed in, usually the first link is Bowen Karens at Papa TV showing you the rules. And I love the way that Bowen shows you the rules. He'll tell you about different strategies for playing the game. There is no person better. I mean, I know you've got Carl D'Angelo making rules videos, even Jack Danger on Deadflip makes them sometimes, but they're usually like an hour and a half or 2 hours. They like, maybe there's a 45 minute one that I missed. But if you want to go really deep in a tournament, maybe go watch Carl D'Angelo do it on IE Pinball. But if you want to just get the fast, quick, and dirty rules, you go watch Bowen Karen on Papa. Because even though he might have a 15 or 20 minute video, in the first 5 minutes, sure as shats, he's going to tell you the important things to do, the important things to hit, the important multi-balls, the important modes. So what a big advantage to have Bowen Karen there now going back. And I hope that they go through and ask Bowen to do a video on every one of those previous P3 Multimorphic games, because I think that will shed new light on them and give them a whole new chance to actually being sold and a whole new audience sitting there watching the games. All right. So number five on this list, and I know it's a bit of a quicker show today, but hey, that's what it is. I'm trying to do all killer, no filler. I'm trying to do less filler, go off topic less. Some of the episodes will be less. I want to go through and I want to do Stern. I don't want to do American Pinball. And I want to do my top five things that I think are rad about them and one thing that I think is a little bit bad. So watch for those to come out. Now, mind you, if we have news like the Haggis pinball update, thanks again, Marty and team over there, Damien, of course, everybody else over there at Haggis, thanks for that update. Those machines look so freaking pretty. I've gone back and watched the video again and again. And although, like, before that video came out, there was almost a 0% chance I would ever want to get a Fathom. Now, if I were to win the lottery, I think the Fathom would be in my top 10 that I would want to get because it's so freaking pretty. I love older machines. I love solid states and EMs. And to get, you know, a machine that doesn't have, because I'm so bad at fixing machines, to get a machine that has the, you know, the look of these retro machines from the 80s, but also just looks that great, wow, would be awesome. All right. So number five on the list is that, and this is, I think people forget about this a lot. What people do mention is that it takes up a lot less space, because let's say that you have, I don't know, you can either have five pinball machines taking up an entire room, or you could have five different P3 Multimorphic, you know, the upper playfield part, whatever they call it, and move them in and out. And it literally takes up the space of one cab. So especially if you lived, you know, like, I don't know, in New York City and you only had room for one machine, right? Or you're a bachelor, you're new in life. Probably not if you're a family man and you own a big house and everything like that, you have all this room in your arcade. Of course, that's not going to be your main advantage. Now, maybe you do have a lot of room in your arcade, but you already have nine grails that you love and you only have room for one more pin and you want that pin to be able to just, you know, kind of switch in and out. There you go. P3 Multimorphics for you. But here's the thing that no one's talking about. This is my real number five. It's not that it takes up less space, because that's great. It's how much better for the environment this is. And especially as being, say, like a pinball operator with limited space, the fact that, you know, P3 is going to come out with several new per year that you can switch in and out, and they have every year. Right? Whether or not it's just for, like, maybe on Tuesdays you only play, I don't know, the farm animal game or whatever it is, right? Or maybe on the next day, you know, on Wednesdays you have, maybe you don't want to switch it every day. So maybe you say, you know, Tuesday through Friday it's Heist. And then Saturday and Sunday it's going to be Weird Al. You're going to get crazy and get so white and nerdy and get so white and nerdy. Could you think of a better song for a pinball nerd to play at the start of their, I couldn't. So it's just way, way, way better for the environment. So rather, let's say, like, even 5 years down the road from now, there's, I don't know, 10 there's altogether, maybe they're probably getting close to 10 now, but let's say there's a dozen machines that you really, really, really like for P3, and you own three of them or four of them. You've now got four pins that you can keep refreshed by switching it out every week or every month or however you want to do it. But you've only sent to the landfill one box I guess they come in a much smaller box. Okay, so you've sent one full-size pinball box and three or four much smaller boxes to landfill. Also, think about all of that styrofoam, which is horrible for the environment that's in there. You're, 30, 40, 50% less styrofoam. And I don't know the exact amount because I've never bought a P3 multimorphic, so I'm not sure. But what I can tell you is that overall, it's going to be way less intensive. You know, legs, you don't have to have, if you had 10 different P3 multimorphic games, instead of having 40 legs, because there's four on each one, you only have four. So you've saved the production of 36 different, legs right there. Then you've got, instead of having 10 cabinets, you've only, done the wear and tear. And so with Earth Day just recently happening, I had to give big props out. And many of you have been listening since the start will know that one of the first things I ever talked about is how could pinball companies be a little bit more environmentally conscious. And here's the great part is being environmentally conscious also usually, not always, relates to savings and money. And when you're saving money, that means that you either get to put more profit back into the company, which hopefully for us, the consumer, means more toys, more advancements in technology and this sort of thing, or at the very least means that the price goes lower or hopefully stays the same, right? So that was my top five rad. Now let's talk about the bad. The bad does tie into this, that if you don't already own a P3 multimorphic, just the entry level is very, very, very high. I believe I've heard it's around 15,000. I would have to look into myself. I'm guessing that's American, but let's just even pretend it was 15,000 Canadian. My entire arcade that I had when I first moved here had, a $5,000 Roller Coaster Tycoon in it, a $3,000 Flash Gordon, $2,000 Fireball Classic, $1,600 Big Shot, $800 Sing Along. I'm missing one right now, but even that altogether doesn't add up to 15 grand. So if you're, middle class to relatively poor like myself, right? Just a regular everyday dude, and you can only afford $15,000 and you do luckily have an entire large arcade that you'd want to fill, I think it's much more rad because you can actually throw tournaments with that, whereas opposed to if you own five different P3 multimorphic machines but only one cab, you can only play one at a time, which, for tournament purposes, that would not be very fun switching out the game every single game. You know what I mean? But so that's probably the biggest negative is still the barrier to cost, to at least entry to cost to get into start. Now, once you've got it, geez, if you already own, say, Cosmic Kart Racing, you already own the modular for that. There it is. You already own that. Then you only have to spend like, $200 to get this game or $100 to get this game or, so then it's very affordable to get all, especially the small little add-on games. And that's where I really think that you would make your money. I'm still not on board to going to buy one of these because, again, I've said several times, the next pin I'm going to buy is going to be a new in box, probably a Stern Pro, but I wouldn't be against it maybe being an American Pinball. If American Pinball comes out with like Goonies or Back to the Future, one of these dream things for me, I'd be very open to do it. It doesn't matter who does it. I don't care if it's spooky. Probably most likely it's probably going to be a Stern. That would be my guess because they do go after the A-tier titles. And if I'm only going to have one pinball machine in Orbeez Arcade to live stream, it's got to be a theme tier. You know what I mean? A for Albert, right? So anyways, pinball nerds, I just wanted to thank you so much for listening. I also wanted to thank Dan the Man there, part of the, I don't think he's a tribe member yet, but I know I've heard him discussed on the Poor Man's Pinball Tribe Network. And wow, Dan the Man, you bought some coffee off me and I really, really appreciate it. I fired it off to Dan. I included one Orbital Albert Pinball Nerds podcast trading card, one Drop Target Danielle, and one hologram with both of us on it. Now, I did think maybe a couple more of you would like that deal, but because I still haven't got any other pinball nerds, well, two of my friends from London, Ontario ordered, and I really appreciate that. But I haven't got any more pinball nerds doing it, so I'm going to double my ante, guys. I got to double down here. I'm not talking about KFC. I'm talking about you're going to get a whole promo pack of Pinball Nerds podcast trading cards now. Not only will it come in a sealed pack, the pack is going to be an old, like, retro pack that I seal here, but it will be sealed, and it will be, you will have double everything else. So you'll have two drop target Danielle cards, two Orbital Albert Pinball Nerds podcast trading cards, and two holograms. And all you have to do is just order two bags of coffee and get it shipped to you anywhere in Canada, anywhere in the United States. I'm sorry, Rorden. It's just too expensive to ship to Australia. But I know Rorden's going to come here to North America. And when he does that and he comes to the next pinball show and runs into me, I'm going to have some of the most delectable, delicious, organic, eco-roasted, certified fair trade coffee on the planet. We're down to just the light roast, though. The medium roast has completely sold out for now. We put in a new order through our wholesaler, but that's going to take some time to get it in. So for right now, as long as you like light to medium roast, go ahead and order. Anyone who orders before I, you know, have said that it's done, I'm going to say I'm going to limit it to about a week from today. Today is the 28th. So I'll even say to the 7th, to the 7th of April. That gives you guys, what, 8-9 days. You will get a full promo pack, okay, with two of my cards, two of my wonderful wife, Drop Target Danielle, the ever-patient Drop Target Danielle cards, and two hologram cards just for ordering two things of delicious coffee. You were going to buy coffee anyways, you freaking coffee nerds. So just order it from me. Go on to Angry Alpaca Facebook page and hit the Shop Now button and buy some freaking coffee. It's only $18 to get shipped all the way to the United States. I think we might have lost $3 or $4 when we shipped it there. I don't care. I'm sitting on the inventory. I'd rather just sell it to you. I know if you try that coffee, you will become addicted and you will have to order all your coffee from me going forward. I will be your caffeine dealer, okay? I used to deal in bad things and now I only deal in caffeine, baby. Until next time, pinball nerds, remember to eat, sleep, and breathe. Pinball Nerds Podcast.